Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are grateful. I keep saying that, God, because I just am. And we are grateful to be in this place this morning. Grateful to have a place to come and be together and sing your songs. See each other. See the beauties of this place. We pray, God, in these next few moments, we will settle ourselves. We will become quiet enough to hear you. We're going to stop thinking about lunch. We're going to stop thinking about what's this afternoon and next week. We're just going to be gratefully listening for your voice. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. I am going to tell you, it's Pentecost Sunday. Can somebody smile for me and go, woo, woo. In past worlds that I've been in, I've had a large birthday cake. Say, happy birthday, church. Y'all are sorry about that, aren't you? Well, look at me. Do I look like I need cake? So I talked myself out of it. Yeah, there are donuts. Are there donuts left? Are you serious? There might be donuts left. Not cake, but it's a celebration. And so I have to tell you, I love Pentecost Sunday. I had a sweet person give me this gift. It's red. This is Pastor Marcia, because they know I love red. It's a power color. Wonder if that's why God chose red, or maybe the church chose red, because it is a power color. The scripture that Corinda just shared with us, I prayed a lot about what we would talk about today, because you've seen the sign up here. It says Pentecostal Methodist with a question mark. Did that throw you for a little bit? Did you think I was going to demand that you wave your hands in the air and say amen every 5 minutes? Is that what you kind of scared you for a minute? I do ask for amens, because I do that sometimes. But we know that there is up there for a reason for us to consider, are we or are we not Pentecostal Methodists? It's a question, and I get that. A Pentecostal Methodist is someone, or a Pentecostal, who believes that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a peace that we all must experience. Have to. Now, I've got to tell you, growing up, I didn't really think about that much. Did y'all? Did you hear a lot about the Holy Spirit growing up? Who heard a lot about the Holy Spirit? I need a show of hands. Ah, see, about half and half. And I get that a little bit, but I didn't always know about that. And so the scripture that Corinda just read, I'm going to tell you, is the place that moved me from just hearing about the Holy Spirit to receiving the Holy Spirit. That piece of scripture is in our book of worship. The Pastor's Pocket Edition is what I have here. And it is a scripture that is recommended to bring comfort to those in sorrow, those in mourning. It's part of our celebration, our death and resurrection service. When I came on ministry here in this church in 2008, I did some funerals. I did. I don't know why God trusted me with funerals, but he did. I think they're some of the most holy things that we can do as a community of church. They just are. They're beyond, and I know that now. When I first started doing them, I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, well, hey, there's a book. It tells me how to do everything, right? Book tells me how to do everything. Right down to offering scriptures of comfort. So when you get to the point that says, okay, what's the music? Then you go to, what is a scripture of comfort to you or this person? Was there a special scripture that the person had? And sometimes they would just fire off, yeah, yeah. Anybody here got a favorite scripture? Give me one. Come on, quick. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Oh, that's in the book. You've been looking. I shall mount up with eagle's wings. I shall not be faint or weary, and the youth will faint and all that good stuff. But those who trust in the Lord will rise up like wings on eagles. Yeah. Somebody else got another one? Don't give me one I don't know. No.
Jeremiah 29.
Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. You guys are good. I didn't plant them, I promise. I'll give you those 20s later. Don't bother me too close after church. Anybody else got a favorite scripture? John 3:17. For he did not come into the world to judge it, but to save it. Yeah. So here's what's great about that. And that was all going really well until I ran into somebody who looked at me real blank stared. And it broke my heart. So I fumbled around and I began looking up in the book, Isaiah 40. Yeah, hey, you know what? These were there, right? And then I came to this one that I fell in love with, which is that one, the one that Krenda just shared with us. Do not let your hearts be troubled, is what it says here. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, that I go to tear your place. Just what she was telling you guys. And I read that, and I don't know how many times. I kind of like the eagle's wings, because I'm an outdoorsy kind of person. So I would, now sadly, now I'm confessing. A lot of people like the eagle's wings, because it's not necessarily so churchy. And they would pick that one. And I thought that was great. And then I would share with them this one too, and they didn't always pick it. Until I started sharing this story when I learned the backstory of this gospel. Now, you guys know it. People at home probably know it. By the way, welcome, YouTubers. Don't want to leave you all out. You probably know pieces of scripture, right? And I was doing real well with this whole trying to comfort people and be with them. Until I started reading this one over and over. You know the place to where I'm going. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. I have said these things to you while I am with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Isn't that a great piece of scripture? And I would read that. And then one day, this caught me up. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. Now, Jesus is saying this, and I'm going, this is going to be a terrible confession. I thought, what's going on here with this piece of scripture? What is going on here? Well, Jesus knew he was dying, and he was trying to prepare his disciples for when he wasn't going to be there anymore, and he assures them that it's going to be okay because he's going to ask the Father to send this Advocate, this Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is still alive. He's not dead yet, but he's dying and he knows it. He is preparing the way for people to understand that the Holy Spirit is coming, who will stay with them and teach them everything. And I got to tell you, it changed my heart. It made me feel different. I felt like I was being spoken to myself, that I was being assured that whatever was going on, that the Holy Spirit, all I had to do was say, Holy Spirit, come. It's a powerful thing, my friends. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Now, we're going to go to, you know how many days ago it was to Easter? Now you're going to know what Jim has to put up with all week long. She goes from here to here to here to here. And at some point, I may connect it. I may, right? Yeah, okay. All right, he's still with me. Do you know how many days ago it was till Easter? 50. I got my calendar out and counted it. I didn't want to tell you something wasn't true. Has it just been 50 days since Easter? Who feels like it was forever ago? Anybody else? I haven't had a peep in 3 weeks. That's about how long they last. They last me about 2 weeks. Easter, 50 days ago. That's really something. In the world of the church, We do speak the word Pentecost because it means 50. And it takes us from Easter, which we know that Jesus died on Good Friday, resurrected on Sunday, and then he was with us. He was with them. I mean, he's with us now. But he was with the disciples. If you haven't read the scripture, Google it. One of these days, I'm going to do a church service. I'm going to make y'all get your phones out. And you're going to Google stuff with me because I love Googling stuff. So 50 days, he's kind of gone. Then he does the transfiguration, and then we go this whole 50 days later. And he has told the disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait. Are you guys good at waiting? Oh, sure you are. You're sweet Christians. You just wait in the drive-through for your prescription. I'm talking to a certain group of us. Anyway, we wait, and we're good at it, right? He says, go and wait. And they did. And they went to a place called the upper room, what we think was the upper room where the Last Supper was fixed. And that's where they went and they waited. During this celebration of Shavuot, I heard it on YouTube. I didn't know it, but Shavuot, isn't that pretty? Shavuot is the festival of the firsts. People were supposed to bring all their harvested first wonderful things because you were supposed to bring the first offering, firsts, as an offering. And that's what this celebration was all about. So they were always together. Always together. Tried to be together. They went to Jerusalem to celebrate this. I smiled when I said, oh God, you're so good. A party was happening and you just showed up. He does that, doesn't he? Seems to in scripture. There's something going on, a gathering of people. God's going to show up. Hello, is there a gathering of people here today? Is God showing up? Oh, y'all just became Pentecostal. I love it. Talking to me now, they are. And the craziest thing happens. They're in this room, and this wind and this fire, I mean, it's Freaksville. And they are just starting to speak in different languages, which the Bible says tongues, and that's cool. And they're speaking all these different languages. Yeah. See, come on. He's a little Pentecost. Oh, I love this so much. Go Brody. And so they're speaking in tongues. And the crazier thing happens. People on the street hear them. Kind of made me think like Mardi Gras. Anybody ever been to Mardi Gras? I've seen pictures. Oh, y'all aren't going, no hand went up on that one. Nobody's going, oh, yeah, there's a couple hands. It's confession time. It's just what's said here stays here. It's like the Elks Lodge. Okay, anyway. So they're speaking in languages, and people are walking by and going, what is going on? These Galileans, just for example, somebody would say, dude, he's speaking Spanish. He's speaking, somebody give me something else. He's speaking Ozarkian. No, not that one. That one's, we get that one. But a foreign language, their language, they were speaking in the language of the people who were not inside. And I smiled and I said, wow, do you suppose God expects us to learn new languages, new ways of doing things that we might speak to the people outside? Maybe. What do you think? It was an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that made this possible. And from that, they were able to preach the good news. That's what the scripture says. Once they received the Holy Spirit, they were able to preach the good news. Friends, we are Pentecostal. Now, and I have some sweet Pentecostal friends, and I love them. They pray out loud, and they just sometimes start saying things that I don't fully understand. And you know what? That is okay. We believe as United Methodists that someone should be able to translate. And I said, well, maybe it's not me. Maybe I'm not the translator. But somebody there could be the translator, right? So who am I to say that they're not speaking in tongues? Just saying. Because we do believe in it. It's Pentecost, friends. It's a time of absolute celebration and oddness and stepping away from the normal. It's a time for us to celebrate the birth of the church. Look around and say, happy birthday, church. Don't breathe on anybody, though, because COVID is still real. Happy birthday, church. Aren't you glad to be here today? Aren't you glad to have a place to be? Pentecost believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To receive the Holy Spirit empowers and equips us to do what God desires for us to do. We have to have evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Something in us has to change. I go to high school reunions and they go, you do what? I say that all the time because I kind of smile about it. It proves that God does amazing miracles still. We have to have evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I like NCIS and mysteries, and there's always some evidence that points to something. So what could we think that evidence of an indwelling of the Holy Spirit would be? Anybody got any thoughts? Oh, honeys, are you kidding me? Generosity. Smiles. Kindness. An indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Putting the needs of others before mine. Yeah, God, I said it out loud. You got to be careful what you say out loud. He'll call you on it. Or he does me. Be careful. I remember the day I was kind of on my back porch. Back porch is kind of my holy place. And I was on my back porch, and have you ever done this? I love you, God. I love you. I love you more than ice cream. I love you more than chocolate. I love you more than... Anybody done that? Have you ever done it? Oh, my gosh. You must try it. I love you more than. Dear God, I love you more than. And I said, dear God, I love you more than... Oh, hey. I was on a roll. I love you more than my black dog. She's in heaven now, but she would sit right there and listen to every word. I love you more than my dog, my Ellie dog. I love you more than my mom and dad. That was a bit of a stretch. And I was on such a roll, before I knew it, I said, I love you more than Tori, who's my daughter. She wasn't married, so don't feel bad, Bill. I didn't leave you out because you weren't in yet. I love you more than Tori. And then I said, I love you more than Dee, who is my husband. And I said, what just happened? I think the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can happen in increments. I think from me serving these families to me being on the back porch, I mean, I just want to encourage you that if you don't feel like something went kapunk and you had a fire on your head, I don't want you to go, oh, I must not have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to do that. I think it, as Methodists, we kind of believe things happen transformationally a little in increments. Our faith grows and we become transformed. Our faith grows and we become transformed. And I think the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can happen the same way. I think we can go, ah. Today I'm better than I was. Pastor Jim will tell you. We're just talking about something. And he'll give me a word, and we'll be talking, and I'll say, well, now the old me would say that. And I'd try not to let it jump out my mouth, but it would sometimes. And he would be very generous and kind, because he's a pastor. And he would shake his head a little bit. I'd say, but the old me, but I said, you know what? The new me doesn't even feel the need to say that anymore. The new me puts away those things. There is evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm not saying this to brag because it is not all about me. It is because of God's generous gift and the availability of the Holy Spirit. Kids, the Holy Spirit is available to every single person. I'll give you another evidence of the Holy Spirit. Would you walk across the street and check on the two people in the red jackets that were in the shelter this morning? I know somebody who did. That's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that fun? So in the days to come, and this church is in the middle of revival, in case y'all hadn't kind of picked up on that, we've got new blood. We've got possibly new directions. And I'm going to encourage you not to be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Be open. Be open. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. All you have to do is ask for it. In a few minutes, we're going to have Holy Communion, which is where I received my call. I was in a communion setting with teenagers. Somebody go, wow. Okay, you've obviously never been in a communion setting with teenagers. Some of my biggest blessings came in working in youth ministries. I love teenagers. I just love them. I like little bitties. I like little bitties. But there is something so quirky about a teenager that I adore them. You say zig and they'll say zag. Just because they can. They'll ask you the tough questions. You have to be authentic with them. There is no fooling around in youth ministries. You've got to know what you know, and when you don't know it, you've got to tell them that. And then when you do figure out that you know it, then you need to tell them that. That kind of sounds like working with almost anybody, doesn't it? It was a Holy Communion setting, and I said, Lord, I wish I'd have had David Norberry. He was the pastor at the time. I wish I'd have had him bless some communion elements. Some of you have heard this story way too many times, but it's like the Gospels. It's a good story. I'm going to keep telling it. And I said, man, I wish I'd had elements blessed so we could take communion together. And I heard the voice say, you could do that. And so I made the movements to start doing that. And I am grateful I did. Some days I'm kind of thinking, oh, God, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, I'm serious. Get in there, girl. And if it gets loud, me and Krenda are going to get louder. So that we can't hear the voice, that old loud stuff. All we're going to hear is this sweet little voice that we know is inside that little baby. With this sweet little voice that we know is Jesus calling us. We're going to have Holy Communion, and we're going to say some of these words again, but I want you to hear them because, my gosh, they're powerful. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, because within Jesus' world, you heard that there, that Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit, and God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowers us, and Jesus even says the words in John, that we are to do greater things. Are you ready to do greater things? Well, hear these words, because you're going to hear them again, but I want you to hear them this time. In remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in Jesus or God, believe in the acts. Believe in what happens. Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. We're offering ourselves. Will you offer yourself? It's kind of cool. It's kind of scary. It's kind of daunting. But you're not going to do it alone because you've got the power of the Holy Spirit with you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Now here's the cool part. You ready? That we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. If you receive Christ in a water baptism, and I don't, here's a kind of crazy, I don't care how much water it is. Our little baptismal has a shell with three drops in it. Isn't that cool? Have you ever really looked at that? It's our baptismal font. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you to the sweet TJ who fixed it for us. It was in dismal shape at one point. He got it all back together. It looks so pretty. By the water and by the Spirit, we become more and more gods. You see, I think God expects us just to keep transforming, to be more and more and more. As Wesley would say, going on to perfection. Can we receive? Who wants to go on to perfection? Yeah. Who thinks they're there yet? Oh, finger's getting pointed right there. Kim Voigt is perfect. I agree. The only smart man in the room. I didn't see another finger pointed, another girl. Ooh, you going to get a talking to after a while, boys, girls. I pray that you will take the joy of the power of the Holy Spirit with you out of this place. I pray that when you come and receive the body and blood of Christ, because as Methodists, we also believe that when you come forward to do this, there is the power to receive Jesus, to receive the Holy Spirit. We believe that. This is just not coming together to go, oh, I want some bread and juice. This is not even just a ritual. It's not just a ritual that the church made up for us to do once in a while to remember the Last Supper. Honestly, it's not. It's an opportunity for every single person to come forward and renew their relationship with God. I hope I'm not misspeaking here. I don't think I am. So when you come forward, man, in Africa, they dance. Now, I've been told we can't do that. That'd be too Pentecostal. No, I'm kidding. You can dance. The power of the Holy Spirit fills us with knowledge and wisdom and joy. And it is evident in how then we respond to the world. Sweet friends, you can do it. You can be the body and blood of Christ for the world. Not on your own. None of us can. But we can do it. Go like this. At least make me, you know, encourage me. Preachers need encouragement. Come on. You guys are awesome. Thanks for being here today. I pray the Holy Spirit on you. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. So much, God, so much is in the world that tries to pull us away from you. And I kind of feel like here's the Holy Spirit going, no, 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 hang on, hang on, hang on, because we can do this. You know, God, when I was praying about this, I said, Lord, we're not just going to wear red today. We're going to be the red. We're going to be the evidence. We're going to be the change. There is so much we can do. Help us to be bold and courageous and to speak of you. It's amazing, God. It is freeing. Help us to receive it. Help us not to listen to the world. Help us to be transformed. By the renewing of our minds and our hearts, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Now I smile about this because you all just said amen. Do you know what amen means? It means you're in agreement. So y'all just agreed to that.